So for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea, what I'll call spiritual things. We'll call it spiritual things. And so we'll be looking at this for the next several weeks because there's a lot of dynamics and a lot of different aspects to this. We're going to be looking at who we are in Christ, our identity. What has Jesus done? Like, what does it mean what Jesus has done for us? If we've given our life to Jesus, we've chosen to follow him, who are we? And what does that look like? We're going to be looking at spiritual warfare, the battle that's going on, because a lot of us, we maybe don't know about that. We're unaware of what that is and what that means. And we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts, what we'll call the calling. So we're going to look at who we are, our identity. We're going to be looking at the battle that's going on, and we're going to be looking at our calling of what that purpose is. Because these are things that are very important to our Christian walk. They're very important. They're very important to the church as we're a body of believers. And if you look at what the church is called to do, we're called to advance the kingdom of God. We're called to advance the church that Jesus Christ established. We're in doing that, we push back the darkness. But these are things that we need to be aware of, because a lot of times we're not aware of these things in the church. Our mission at Alpine is love, serve, and become, because it all comes down to love. We have to love God with all we are, all we have, all we ever will be, because that's first. If we don't have that, then we really have nothing, and there's nowhere to go from there. But once we have that, then that love flows to loving our neighbor as ourself and the world around us. And when that's in place, then we serve. We serve in the church where God has called us to serve. And we serve through ministry. We serve one another as a body, as a family. But we also serve the world around us by being a blessing. As we looked at a few weeks ago, we are blessed people. God does provide multiple blessings to us as his children, but we're blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed to just hoard it all and have all this stuff. We're blessed to be able to bless others, to speak into somebody's life, to bless with financial means, whatever it might be. We're blessed to be a blessing. And as we do those things, we become. We become more like Jesus. We become who he's called us to be. We become and start to walk in the purpose that we were created for. And that is where we find the abundant life that Jesus came to bring for us. See, a lot of times we'll have given our life to Jesus, and we're Christians. We're going to go to heaven when we die, but we don't worry about all the love. We don't worry about the serving. We don't worry about becoming. And that's why we're miserable, because we haven't found the abundant life. We're just waiting to die and go to heaven. We're missing all the in-between, and it shouldn't be that way. And these things are important, because I don't think it's a stretch to say, or it would surprise anybody to say, that the times that we're living in are dark. The times we're living in are evil and twisted. Everything that you see and view is twisted around us. That's just the way it is. Everything. People are calling what is clearly wrong, and they call it good. It's strange. What's clearly evil, and they call it God. It's really strange. Everything seems twisted. As a society, we don't know the difference between boys and girls anymore. As a society, we think killing babies is okay. We seem to think that we can live however we want, and nobody can tell us any different. Anything goes. Everything's okay. Do what feels right. But that's not the word of God. That's not what it says. That's not God's way. But we don't win this war by fighting people. We don't win by fighting each other. We don't even win by fighting the world. It's a strange thing. It makes it hard, because when we see something out of place or wrong, we want to fight, and we should fight. But we try to fight each other. We try to fight another. We try to fight the world. Now, there's a place and there's times and seasons and ways to fight the good fight on this earth and stand for what we believe in. Absolutely. But it must be firmly fought spiritually. Because if we don't fight spiritually, we're really just doing nothing. We're really just making a commotion. We're really no different than the world around us who doesn't know Jesus, who we're trying to help know Jesus. So this message is spiritual things. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Now in Ephesians 5, just before the text we'll read today, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or that word is carefully. "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Because the days are evil. So if the problem is evil, the fight needs to happen in the spiritual. You can't fight evil physically. It's not physical, it's spiritual. It affects the physical, but we need to remember that everything in our life that's physical starts in the spiritual. Every battle that we face in the physical started in the spiritual. That's just the reality of the way it works. We don't have to like it. We don't even necessarily have to agree with it. We don't even have to believe it. But the reality is that the spiritual determines the physical. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10 reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Every week we declare that it is truth. It's absolute final authority. We will bow our knee and our opinion and our desire to your word. The world around us, society, is not truth. Your word, we declare, is truth. We ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to allow your word to shape and mold and change our lives. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room and the room of those watching the recording, that you would minister to each one, Holy Spirit, that you would stir our hearts, that you would teach our minds, that your words would come through this message, and that you would do among us, Lord, what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So many times, as Christians, we shy away from the spiritual, from this kind of stuff. You know, it's really so odd, though, because God, whom we serve, is spiritual. Most of us, in fact, all of us, have probably never actually seen him. You've never actually physically felt him, handled him. You felt him in your spirit and in your heart. You know his presence. You can feel him. You can experience him. But you've never physically walked with him in the flesh. It's spiritual. Our salvation is spiritual. If you think about it, we believe that Jesus was God himself, fully God and fully man, who died on a cross and rose from that grave, and that in that we receive a free gift of grace and forgiveness and mercy and eternal life by faith. That's spiritual. All of this Christian life is spiritual. But then, yet somehow, once we get talking spiritually past salvation, then all of a sudden it's weird. All of a sudden it maybe shouldn't be talked about. All of a sudden it's hard to believe. We say things like, "Well, I don't know if I can really believe that. Well, that sounds crazy. Oh, I'm not really there yet. I don't know about all that stuff. That's just plain weird." Right? Those are the things we say or that others say. But why is it weird when this is all fine, but this isn't? It comes from the same book. It comes from the same Bible. This is the word of God, and we can believe easily salvation. And God as spiritual and what Jesus did as spiritual. But this stuff is for somebody, I don't know about. Those are things that we actually say. So what we find is we have two people two types of people on different levels, two different levels. One, as we start talking about spiritual warfare or the spiritual realm, we see a group of people in number one that they believe Satan and demons are hiding behind every corner. Everywhere you go, there's a demon. Everything that we don't like is the devil. Anything that doesn't go exactly according to plan is the devil. Or we have the second group that believe nothing's the devil. They don't even know if he's real or exists. And all the problems in our life are just simply our own sin. And if we'd get rid of all the sin, everything would be okay. And anything and everything is our fault. And we're just simply not God's will. Neither of those two thoughts are completely correct. There's elements of truth in each of them. That's why we have them. But they're both false. It's like Ephesians 5 tells us we need to walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. We need to know and we need to understand because the days are evil. Paul in Ephesians, before we get to our text, if you read Ephesians, you'll read that Paul is in this letter to his church. He's telling them a bunch of things. Things we've heard before. Redemption through Jesus as our Savior. He talks about asking for wisdom so that we can know spiritually. He talks about grace and faith. He talks about the blood of Jesus and all that it's done for us. He talks about the mystery of our salvation through faith. He talks about unity among us, walking with and being led by the Holy Spirit, obedience and family dynamics and how they work. He talks about all of that. We've heard all of that. We believe that's the stuff that we believe. So Ephesians 1 through 5 is all good. We like it. It's church. We believe it. It's spiritual. But then he starts, and there's an Ephesians 6. If he would have just stopped at 5, it'd be a lot easier. But he didn't. He went into 6. And he starts the text today with finally. Now, so he's saying, so after covering all that stuff, right? Now that we're aware of all of that, you see, all that's important. He spent 5 chapters in his letter to this church about all that stuff. That's why we talk about that every week. You're always going to hear those things here at Alpine because they matter and because they're important and because we need to understand them. But now that all that's been covered, he says, finally. Now, he's not saying finally, that word, it doesn't mean in conclusion. It doesn't mean at the end. It doesn't mean lastly. What it would be translated is insofar as the rest of life and its troubles are concerned. Then he continues, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So we see right off the bat in this chapter that God chose to include in his word, we're in a battle. That's just the way that it is. Like it or not, you are in a battle. There is a war happening. And you're part of it. You don't have to like it. But if you don't believe it and you're not aware of it, then you're just going to be tossed to and fro. See, a lot of times we wonder, like, why can't I get this? Or why can't this change or that change? Or why does this keep happening? Well, maybe it's because you're in a battle that you're not fighting. Maybe it's because there's a war going on that you refuse to believe in. Why would we be instructed to put on armor if there's no battle? Have you thought about that? What are we putting armor on for no reason? God doesn't do things for no reason. God doesn't waste words. God doesn't just say stuff for the fun of it. No one puts on armor to go sit on the couch. That's weird. No one puts on armor to go hide in a safe corner. That's not what you do. If you do that, you're weird. You don't put armor on unless there's a possibility of a battle. That's why you put it on. There's no soldiers, there's no military, there's no police officers that put their armor on to go hide in a corner. They don't do it. They put it on because there's a battle happening that they're going to be involved in some manner, in some way. There is potential of harm from this battle. That's why they put armor on. Now notice that it doesn't say, keep the armor on that you have. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, let God put armor on you. He doesn't say, wait for God to arm you. That's not what he says. He says, put on the whole armor of God. This is the part that every Christian needs to walk through. This is part of what we walk through, right? We've been talking for a few weeks. We've been bringing it up. Every one of us needs to have a funeral. There's stuff in our life that needs to die. So have the funeral and get rid of it. Stop playing games. Stop being fake and pretending. Nobody's being impressed. And the ones that are being impressed and tricked don't matter. Because God sees and he knows that it's fake. So have the funeral. Get rid of the stuff that needs to die. Have the garage sale. Get rid of the stuff and the thoughts and the activities and the things we know shouldn't be part of our life. Get rid of it. Have the garage sale. And then we go shopping, and this is part of our shopping. Put on the whole armor of God. But the first step in all of this battle, before we get to the battle, before we get to who's in the battle and how it works and what it is, it has to start with our identity. It has to. Because if we don't know who we are, then we don't know our place. If we don't know who we are, then we don't know how we fight this battle. Because if we're living this Christian life and it's all based off of how good we were this week, it's going to be a hard battle. If your success in this battle is going to be determined by how many hours you read your Bible last week, it's going to be a rough battle. If you're going to determine your success after based off of how many hours you prayed over the last 3 weeks combined, it's going to be a long battle. You can increase your prayers. You can increase your Bible reading. I hope you do. Those are good things. But that's not what determines who you are. Who you are is not the good you did versus the bad you did. Who you are is not how many ticks you have on the good side or the bad side. Of course we want more good than bad. Of course we want to tick the good side, not the bad side. Of course we change our life and get rid of the junk. Yes. But who you are is not based on that. You see, who we are determines what we do. If you don't know who you are, then you're going to do all kinds of things that isn't who you are. Because you don't know. You're just doing whatever happens. You're just doing what feels good. You're just living according to the moment. Because you don't know who you are. If you know who you are, that will automatically change things you say and do and are involved with. If we're going to be victorious in this life, in this battle, and in these evil days, we must know who we are in Christ. We must know what we've been given by God. We must know how to wear our armor. We must know how to fight. You hear me say these things all the time because it's our identity. It's who we are, and you need to know. So who are you? If you've given your life to Jesus, if you said, I know I've made mistakes, I know I've messed it up, I know my ways aren't the right ways, and so forgive me, Lord. I choose to follow Jesus. And you've turned to follow him. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It means you've chosen to follow Jesus. This is who you are. In Christ, because of Jesus, you are not who you once were. You're not. You are not a dirty sinner. You were a sinner who's saved by grace. Scripture now says you're a saint. And then we'll say things like, well, I made this mistake, and I said this, and I shouldn't have. And that's life. It's not based on you. It's not based on what you're doing. It's based on him. And he's already done it. So in Christ, you are not a dirty sinner. You were a sinner who's been saved by grace, and you're now a saint. You were in darkness. Now you're in the light. You were a slave to sin. Now you've been set free. You were on a path to destruction. Now you're on a path to glory. You were blind. Now you see. You were dead. Now you're alive. You were a child of wrath. Now you're a child of God. You are not who you once were. Not because you're perfect, because He is. Not because you've earned it, because He's deserving. The old has passed. It says, behold, all things have become new. There is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The same Spirit with which God raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Scripture says, greater is He, capital H, God, in you than He, little h, in the world. Like, it's pretty hard to read a list like this and feel terrible. It's almost impossible. It is impossible. The only way we can read a list like that and feel terrible is if we don't believe what that list says. And nobody can change that for you but you. See, that's the part. We always want this part to play, and so we take the part to play of our behavior, of what we do or don't do, of how good we are or aren't. But that's not our part to play. If that's the part you want to play, you'll never achieve it. The part we play is receiving and believing. It's so easy that it's too easy. In Romans chapter 8, Paul asks us several questions because we as a body, we as people have always had issues with these things. Because in life, if something's too good to be true, it almost always is. But this isn't the world around us. This is Jesus. This is God, who is perfect and doesn't make mistakes. So in Romans 8, Paul asks these questions. First question he asks is, what shall we say to these things? All these things that he teaches that we learn. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? That's not asking the question as in nobody will ever be against you, because people are going to be against you for all kinds of things. But he's saying, if God is for us, what does it matter who's against us? Second thing, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do we have an answer for that? Do you? You need to think about that. Third thing, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall judge us? Who shall condemn us? He says, it's God who justifies. The fourth thing, who is he who condemns? And then he says, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. There isn't condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't come to die on a cross and rise from that grave to condemn you. You were already condemned. He didn't have to do anything. You condemned yourself. That's the reality. Our actions, our life condemns us. And the scripture says that he so loved the world that he came to save us. He redeems us from that condemnation. So there is no condemnation for you anymore. And the fifth thing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Have you thought of that? What can separate you from the love of Christ? He asks some questions. He says, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? It's quite a list. What off that list can separate you from the love of Christ? He goes on, verse 37, he says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present or things to come, height, depth, or any created thing, none of that shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So think of that. Here's the list. We got tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things that are going to come, height, depth, or anything created. None of that can separate you from the love of God. But the one thing that isn't on that list is you. You're not listed there. Because you make the choice. You make the choice to follow or not. You make the choice to go your own way or God's way. You make the choice to serve Him or yourself. Nothing can separate you but your choice. So did you catch all of that? Let me paraphrase. For you, in Christ Jesus, God is for you. God gives to you. God justifies you. There is no condemnation for you. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from Him. And in all of that, in Christ, you are more than conquerors. That phrase in the Greek, more than conquerors, it's actually a word, hupernikao. And the meaning of that word is over and above, to conquer. It describes someone who is super victorious, someone who wins more than an ordinary victory. And it speaks of overpowering in achieving abundant victory. In all those things, what are those things? There's tribulation, there's distress, there's persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, there's death and life, there's angels and demons and powers, there's things present and things that are coming, there's height and depth, there's created things. In all of that, you are super victorious. In all of that, you win more than an ordinary victory. It speaks of you as being overpowering in achieving abundant victory. That is who you are. That's your identity. Notice, none of that has anything to do with how good you were last week. None of that has to do with how many hours you prayed last week. None of that has to do with how many times you were in church in the last 3 months. Has nothing to do with that. Not because it doesn't matter. It matters what you do. It matters what you choose in life, because there's consequences to every choice. And some choices will lead us down paths we're not going to enjoy. And that doesn't mean that a demon sent you there. It means you made poor choices. And then other aspects of life are going to mean that there's a battle raging and you need to fight. And you need to fight spiritually by praying and reading your word and getting close to God. But none of it matters if you don't know who you are. Your past is your past. Not that it doesn't matter, not that things from our past don't affect us, but it's your past. You cannot go back and change what you've done. You cannot go back and change what happened. It's done. Right, wrong, good, bad. There are things that will carry forward with us. Absolutely. But today is a new day. Today can be a new start. You see, none of those things, the demons, the principalities, the powers, the heights or depths, the death, the light, none of it can change that. But your choice. If you know who you are, you've won many battles already. So as we walk through this series of spiritual things, keep first and foremost in your mind who you are. Because when it comes time to fight spiritually, you need to know who you are. You're not standing there on the battlefield alone. You're not standing there on the battlefield unworthy and unloved and uncared for. Your victory on the battlefield is not dependent upon all the good or bad you've done. Your victory on the battlefield is dependent on if you've chosen to follow Jesus. If you are in Christ. Because if you're not in Christ, you're on your own. And that's a scary place to be. Some of us might think we have a lot of power. Some of us might think we're pretty smart. Some of us might think we can get a lot done all by ourselves. But we're just deceived. Some of us might think there's that super special out there that can do it all for us. And we're deceived. Because Jesus is the only name. He is the only way. He is the only option. Your identity in Jesus matters. You are not who you once were. See, our behavior changes based off of who we are. So if we think that we're just on our own, doing our own thing, then our behavior will be up to whatever we feel that day. If we believe that because we've made mistakes, we're just a dirty sinner and there's no hope for us, and God doesn't really care unless we do so much good that we're earning it all, then we're just going to always be failing and feeling like less than and never enough, and it will never be satisfying. Our behavior changes when we realize who we are in Christ. When we realize that we are a saint, then we want to live like one. When we realize that we don't have to earn God's love, we already have it, then we can walk in it. When we realize that the wrong things that we do, when we know they're wrong and do it anyway, when we realize that those go against who we actually are, when we realize that they take away the worth and value God's placed in our life, when we realize that they kind of separate us from being with God, then we won't want to do them. Not to earn something, but just to stay close. Some of us here in this room or watching, we need to start believing that. It's as simple as that. You need to start believing that. Some of us maybe believe it, but some of us need to start living it. And some of us need to start fighting like that. You are in Christ loved. You are in Christ redeemed and made new. You are in Christ forgiven. In Jesus, if you've made that choice, you are not who you once were. You're made new. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Jesus, we thank you that your salvation and your new life and your cleansing and your forgiveness are not based on us deserving or earning it. It's a free gift. Help us to realize that we just simply choose it. It's a choice that we make to receive. Help us to start believing that. Help us to start living that in our lives so that we can fight like that spiritually. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes to see clearly, that you would open our ears to hear clearly, that you would show us and speak to us as these days go by of who we really are in you. That you would help us to see that though reading the Bible and though praying are good and that we should increase and develop those in our lives, that those don't earn us our place. That we already have it in you. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to understand that there are spiritual things all around us. And that those spiritual things actually determine the physical that we live in. Help us to see you for who you are, Lord Jesus. And help us to see ourselves for who we are in you. Help us to change the walk of our life and what we do and won't do and the things we know are wrong, and help us to stop them not to earn from you, but help us to stop them because that's not who we are. Because that produces separation from your presence. Because that hinders our walk with you. Not to earn, but to stay close. We thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you that we are super victorious in you, that there is nothing that can separate us from your love, that in all things of life, we are victorious. Thank you for armor that protects us and helps us to fight. And we just ask for your wisdom as the days go by. In Jesus' name, amen.